Especially thank you to Morty and Melanie for hosting. Morty asked that I shouldn't say much about him. But I'll just mention his tremendous hasmada and his chavrusas, at least I see in the morning, a tremendous example for his kids and everyone else in the kehila. So I wish him and his wife lots of bracha and atzlacha and simcha in this house.
Amen.
Everyone knows the mission, the end of Maseches Tainus. The law Yom Tovim Li Yisrael Kachamisha Asar Ba'av Kulim Kippurim. There's no greater Yom Tov in the year in the calendar like these 2 days. Shebehen Benos Yisrael Yotzeis Bikli Lavan Shulin. They go out dancing in the yards, in the fields. And the Gemara explains as to why such days are such great simcha. Yom Kippur is a day of slicha mechila. And it gives a number of different reasons as to why Tu B'Av is also a day of simcha. So Moshe Shapiro wants to take these explanations of the Gemara and take them to a whole new level. A new level of what it means for Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur to be the two happiest days of this year. The connection between the two, by they both follow Tisha B'Av. It explains very simply that when a person, when any of us violated an Avera, the two things that happen. Firstly, when an individual violates an Avera, there's a certain pagam. There's a certain pagam on the neshama that's affected, the spiritual pagam, which requires Onshim Kashim Umarim, requires punishments, galus, pain, in order to remove that pagam on the neshama. But then there's this an emotional feeling. This feeling of richuk, this feeling of nezifa, nidoi, feeling separate, distant. In order to feel that closeness, that kiruv to Hashem, it needs a different element. There's a different type of tikkun that's needed to feel that kiruv. So Tisha B'Av itself, he explains that there are two dinim of Tisha B'Av. There's the element of tainus and there's the element of avelus. Tisha B'Av, there's the element of fasting, the element of pain, and that takes away the neshama, the pagama, the neshama, it cleanses the neshama. But there's that element of avelus, which is about distance, when a person loses a relative, that distance from a relative. And some way, some form, the avelus, that period of avelus of Shiva and Nechama, is supposed to help connect the avel and the mace, to bridge that gap, the closeness between the two. And the element of avelus is just a example of the most extreme form of distance, when a person loses a relative. But this applies on smaller scales. When a person feels distance, even in a relationship, in a marriage, in a friendship, in any struggle in life, in a struggle in business, a struggle in learning, in Yiddishkeit, whenever there's that sense of distance, there's some aspect of avelus in different forms, in different levels, that are supposed to help a person bring themselves closer and bridge that gap. So he explains that the element of avelus, in particular the element of nechama, the element of nechama is supposed to bring that, bridge that kiruv, make that closeness between the individual, the avel and the mace, between an individual and a kadosh baruch hu. And the Rambam says that something, if there's avelus without nechama, that's not considered avelus. There needs to be a nechama. If there's no nechama when it comes to avelus, that's not the definition of avelus. There needs to be comfort, there needs to be nechama. There needs to be people visiting the avel. And without nechama, there isn't true avelus. Without nechama, there's no true avelus at all. So what does nechama mean? How does nechama bring a person closer to a mace, bring a person closer to the Ribono Sholem, bring her closer to a spouse, to a friend? So the Maral writes, well-known Maral and Rashi, the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis says, "Vayinachim Hashem ki asa es ha'adam ba'aretz." HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted. He regretted creating the world. There's a Dor Flaga leading to the Dor Mabul. So what's Lashon Nechama? Rashi says. Rashi famously writes, "Nepchon machshavasel shel makom rachamim lemidas din." He changed his mind. Initially, he wanted to run the world of rachamim, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu changes the machshava to run it lemidas din. The word vayinachem, the word nechama, means not comfort, but it means to be nimlach, to change one's mind. And Maral speaks by richas what it means to change mind, but nechama means to change one's mind, to change one's perspective. To look at the same situation, the same circumstances, but from a different angle. From different lenses. The idea of avelus and the idea of nechama is to, as hard as it might be, in not every case there could be nechama. We try our best to give nechama. There are tragedies which people can't always receive the nechama. And again, that's the most extreme case. With avelus. But nechama, the goal is to try to change one's perspective. The person goes through a very traumatic experience. They try to explain to the individual that there's nothing you could do to change what has happened, but you could just look at it in a different light. I once heard that the name Miriam means Mar Yam, bitter waters. But Miriam took those bitter waters, whatever her nature was, to be a Maryam, and took it to be a Miriam, to be something in Merim, and to raise it, and to elevate it. Nechama is to take a situation and to build on it, to look at it in a different perspective, no matter how tragic it might be. And again, not every case can be explained, and can be understood. But at least when it comes to Misa, the idea of Nechama is to speak about the mace, to speak about the dead, to speak stories, to learn new memories that you may not have known, people coming to visit and share wonderful stories. And that's a way of continuing the life, continuing the legacy of those who've passed. And so the word avelus comes from the word aval, to say aval this. It might look one way, aval, but you have to look at it from a different perspective, in a different light, with a different lens. And nechama helps people view that situation, their circumstance, in a very different light. And the Chazal tell us that the creation of the world, it says, "Vayar l'kim es kol asher asa v'hine tov me'od," and it was wonderful. And what was tov me'od? Tov me'od ze hamavis. That death somehow is tov me'od. That somehow death is wonderful. And the idea is, of course, mavis isn't tov, but we have to look at every tragic experience, every challenge, every tzara in such a way that there's some tov. There's some tov ma'od hidden within it. And that's the idea, that's the essence of Tu B'Av, coming off the heels of Tisha B'Av, days of avelus. But Tu B'Av is meant to be a day of Nechama. Just a week later, the Shiva's over, it's the last day of Nechama, to view our perspective, to view our situation in history, as a tzibur, as individuals, whatever struggles we have, but to view it in a different light. I was reading recently a new book on Rabbi Avigdor Miller, a biography about him. And while I was reading it, I couldn't help but feel like I had a very similar situation, not to be like Avigdor Miller, of course, but his struggles and his encounters in life. I imagine, as I'm going to go through some of these stories that he experienced, that many of you might have similar experiences and similar situations where opportunities have fallen, whether it be in business, in life, whatever the example is. So in the book, it describes how Rav Avigdor Miller lived. He grew up in Baltimore. And when he was a young boy, the age of 14, many of his classmates had went on to help their families. The families in Baltimore were not very wealthy, and they helped put food on the table. And at 14 years old, they started to work and make an income. They worked in local factories and businesses. And so Rav Miller was at a stage in his life at 14 where he was very successful in school, as you can imagine, in yeshiva and learning. And he was at a point in life at the age of 14 where he was seriously contemplating whether he should find a job and help relieve his family of the burden of poverty. And every afternoon he'd pass by the same store, a newspaper factory, and there was a sign hanging in front, looking to hire young men. And every day he'd pass by, struggling with this question whether he should go work and leave yeshiva or not. And he was very torn by this indecision. And after weeks, he finally made up his mind he's going to take this job. So he's coming home from yeshiva that day. He goes to the newspaper factory. And as he's approached the building, he saw the owner standing on a ladder, removing the sign. And Rav Avigdor was terribly distraught. He was desperate for work now. And by only a few seconds, he had missed a great opportunity. And only years later did he recognize that this was the greatest chesed from Hashem. Because missing this opportunity enabled him to pursue far greater and more meaningful opportunities. And that wasn't the first experience he had at a missed opportunity. Later, when he was 17 years old, he was unsure about his future. And Rav Avigdor Miller had a tremendous talent for drawing, and he decided he wanted to pursue a career in professional illustration. So he applied for a course in illustration, and he was told by the directors that you have to attend class on Saturdays. So they refused to accommodate him on the ground that he wasn't proficient in English language. And that was anything but true, because Rav Avigdor Miller had a certain command, a very strong command of the English language. He grew up in America. And it was simply a rejection of because he was Jewish. But there's a second opportunity that he had that he was rejected from. And then again, at the age of 21, he applied to be a high school teacher in a public school. And the interviewer said to him, he realized right at the interview this wasn't for him, and said, maybe it's better that you go learn yeshiva. That's a better place for you. So again, he was rejected as a third opportunity to look for some parnasa. So he went back to learn in NYU at the time. And then he heard there's an available opportunity to teach down in Baltimore. And it was to be a Rebbe in Tanakh. And Rav Avigdor Miller knew Tanakh by heart. He knew Diktuk very well. And so he applied for the job. And the principal happened to be his Rebbe when he was learning in Baltimore. This was his Rebbe. He had been promoted to be principal. So he was certain he was going to get this job to teach Tanakh down in Baltimore. And he had gotten the train from New York down to Baltimore. And along the way, the train got delayed. And by the time Rav Avigdor Miller got to Baltimore, some other candidate had applied to the job, and this individual got the job instead. And for some strange reason, this candidate was not a Talmid Chacham by any means, it says here. And Rav Miller was devastated by the loss of this unique opportunity. And the principal said to him that Rav Miller shouldn't worry about this job, because this was beneath Rav Miller. And Rav Miller should go back to yeshiva and to become who Rav Miller was. So many of us throughout life have these opportunities, business opportunities. Now we looked to move to Passaic before we moved out to Woodmere. And we were in Queens, and we spent 10 months looking at houses in Passaic and Clifton. And we were ready to give up. And finally we found the house, the perfect block. It's Terhune Avenue. I think it's an avenue, Terhune something. Perfect in a price range. And we went under contract. And then we had the inspector come. And everything bad that you could imagine in a house existed on this house. Termites. saying the roof was collapsing. So for us, it turned out to be the best. But it's not always easy to see the opportunity when things go bad. Shev Soloveitchik writes that when it comes to Amokim Minachem Eschem, when we say it to the Avel, why is the word Amokim, why is Amokim used? Why is that Shem Hashem Amokim Minachem Eschem B'soch Shari Avel Yishlam Yishlam? Why Dafka Amokim? Why is that the language? Why is that the Shem Hashem being used when it comes to Nichem Avel? So Rav Soloveitchik explains that the Shem Hashem of Amokim means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. And when we think Hashem isn't there, what's in a base avel, when a house of mourning, tzara, gullus, a challenge, when we think of Kadosh Baruch Hu is not there, we say, Amokim Yinachem Eschem, Amokim. Hashem is everywhere. He's even with us, b'tzara, and b'avelus, and b'gullus. So the Mishnah in Avos talks about these two Yomim Tovim, Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, being the happiest days of the year. Describes how the ladies would dance around in circles. And dance around in circles like the letter Samach. And B'nai Yisachar writes that Tu B'Av is Tesvav B'Alef Beis, the 15th letter of Alef Beis. The 15th letter of Alef Beis is a Samach. That Tu B'Av is Keneged, the Samach, which is a circle, which is the circle of life. Things go around. It's like the moon that waxes and wanes. It gets bigger and gets smaller. There are ups and downs in life. And the Levana represents hope. It represents Klal Yisrael, where there are ups and downs, but there's always a circle, that full moon. There's that circle of life. Tu B'Av, which of course is the middle of the month, it's a full moon, is the idea of the Samach, that although sometimes things seem very bad, but there's always a Tov Ma'o, there's always something positive. And we can't always see it. But Tu B'Av has that koach to give us that nechama, that new perspective, how to look at life, how to look at a situation. This is Tov Ma'od. And so last week I was Menachem Avel to someone from the shul. It's Menachem Avel to Gloria Thurm. She was sitting Shiva for her mother. Her mother lived till she was 96. And she shared with me the following story. That her mother, in the last year of her life, she was too weak to walk to shul other than Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But when it was a full moon out, they would take her outside to look at the full moon every single month. And the reason why is because Gloria's mother, she was sent by her parents at the age of 17 before the war. They raised enough money to send her over to America all by herself. She left behind her parents and her siblings back in Europe. She found out years later that they were all killed. But at the age of 17, she was here by herself in America. And this young girl at the time, every time she looked up and it was a full moon, a bright full moon, that circle, that samach, that circle of life, she'd look up with that sense of hope that her parents and siblings were looking at that same full moon from the other side of the Atlantic every single month. And so even though when she got older, and even though when she knew her parents and siblings were no longer, she'd always go outside to look at that full moon, that big circle, that levana, that represents tikva, that represents hope, light, the or, and the tov ma'od. And that's what Tu B'Av is all about. The tesvav ba'alef beis, the 15th letter of the alef beis, that samich, that big moon, that big levana, that sense of nechama. So we should all be zocha in all the different challenges in life, that nechama, to be able to look at every situation in a different light, in a different way, to see the Tov Mode.